Amen. Today, I want us to kind of recall how we got here this year. And I didn't even know we were going to get here this year this way. God is so good. At the beginning of the year, I talked about renewal, you know, with New Year's, and it just felt like that was where we were supposed to go, like we were supposed to learn about renewal. But I didn't understand what He had in store for us. See, I thought we were going to figure out a path. I thought we were going to have a plan. I thought it would be another method. But that's not what He showed us. What He told us. And this was a huge aha for me. And these ahas are not like something new, like we don't already know. It's an aha, like I understand it better. That our renewal is not a path. It's not a method. Our renewal is a person. Our renewal is Jesus Himself. We talked about it at Christmas, that in that cradle is life. And not just life in the little baby, the incarnation, but life given to us. And He just took us through message after message, month after month, and showing us this truth. And like I said before, you can't have Christmas without Easter, and you cannot have Easter without Christmas. They're like bookends of the same story, of the same glory. So we're at the end of the story, or just the beginning, isn't it? What is it? It's a little bit of both, isn't it? Easter. Renewal. It kind of fits, doesn't it? So today, you know, this week we've been walking through, and this year we walk through every year, we walk through Scripture, we walk through Holy Week, but this year we did something a little bit different. We walked through the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is special. The Gospel of John is intimate. The Gospel of John is these one-on-one conversations that Jesus is having with His disciples. A big majority of it is all these conversations Jesus is having with His disciples from the Last Supper to the crucifixion. Some of the most powerful things Jesus has ever said are in the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John begins like not like any other gospel, not like any other story. It begins at the beginning of time itself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa. And then the Word became flesh. Whoa. And then if you go back to Genesis, that God spoke and everything was created. If you go to Colossians, that everything was created in and through Jesus. Whoa. The Gospel of John is powerful. The Word is powerful. And this week, I said last week, you could just become one of the disciples. Become Thomas or Peter as you're sitting at that table. But today, I want you to become Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. How are we renewed? That was her question. Mary Magdalene. You don't hear that much about her. You hear about Peter and Paul and James and John, but Mary Magdalene is the one who found Jesus first. Mary Magdalene was the one who got changed first. Mary Magdalene had this unique and ultimate huge renewal and transformation. Mary Magdalene knew, remember we talked about that, Mary Magdalene knew Jesus. I was coming back from one of my disciple-making groups, and we got into this conversation. How much do we know Jesus? There's no ceiling, is there? There's no ceiling to knowing Jesus. We can always know more about Him. This entire Word from cover to cover is all about Jesus. This day is all about Jesus. This life we're living is all about Jesus. Yes. He created everything. Everything finds its purpose in Him. Everything is about Him, not just in the Word. in this world, in this universe, everything. Everything's spiritual, everything's physical, everything. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around all this. But it's all true. And it's all real, and it's all powerful. So I'm just going to first of all read from the Gospel of John. And I want you, remember I told you to become one of the disciples? I want you to become Mary Magdalene right now. I want you to put yourself in her shoes right now. I want you to feel her heart. I want you to think her thoughts. I want you to be her as I read this. And then we're going to break it down a little. And see what is God telling us, because I'm going to tell you, God has a story here. God has a message here. The Holy Spirit has a story and message about renewal. So as you're becoming Mary Magdalene, I want you to think of that word, renewal. And one more thing. I want you to think of your own life. So you got a lot to think about here. You got to become Mary Magdalene. You got to think like her. You got to have her heart, her emotions. And at the same time, you got to think about yourself. I think we're capable. From the Gospel of John. John 20, verse 11 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this time, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So for a moment, we're Mary. We're crying, we're weeping, we're grieving, we're at the tomb, we're taking a peek in. I think everything's a swirl right now, actually. It's been a horrible 3 days. She lost her Savior. And not just her Savior, her Savior. And you have to understand, Mary Magdalene had 7 demons in her. And 7 is complete, meaning that Mary Magdalene was a total wreck. Can you relate? Have you ever felt like a total wreck? Like it's all falling, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have felt like it is just all falling apart. This time is it. It's really going to crash, and there is no coming back, is there? Mary Magdalene had 7, and we don't know if it was a possession. We don't know exactly what was going on, but she had 7 demons, man. 7 complete. Man, she's not just one issue. She had 7 of them. Or more, because 7 means complete. She was a complete wreck when she met Jesus. So she's at this tomb, she's crying because this Savior, this friend, who had changed everything in her life, is gone. Can you relate? I think we can only partially relate. I think we've only partially been at that wreck stage. I think every time we've been at that wreck stage, we've got to back up, haven't we? But Mary Magdalene, there was no getting up. Until she met Jesus. And in an instant, all those demons were gone. All those issues were gone. And she was freed. But now he's gone. She's in despair. She is weeping. She is in anguish. David's saying this. She's probably thinking all those demons are going to come back. I don't think so. I think she knew they were gone. That Jesus did a complete work on her. That it was gone for good. But see, she lost her best friend. If you got a best friend, you probably can't admit it because you got other friends. If you say that's your best friend, you can get yourself in trouble, right? But you got a best friend. You got that person that's always with you, always standing for you. The one you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning, that best friend, you can always defend, and then some. That's Jesus to her. He's not only her Savior, he's her friend. So she peeps in there, and she looks in there, and she wants to just see this body. She wants some closure. She wants to see this body. But instead, she sees 2 angels. And the angels actually speak to her. And they ask, "Why are you crying, woman?" Odd. I think she could give them a whole litany of why she's crying. I think we just got to summarize a little bit of it. I bet she could go on and on to tell why she's crying, why this is important, why she's grieving, why she's trying to make sense of this. It's been a crazy 3 days. I think she's in shock. But you know, sometimes when we're in shock, when we're in panic, you know what we should do? We should expect the unexpected. And that's what's going on here, is look in the tomb, look for a body, and see 2 angels. That's the unexpected. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said. "And I don't know where they put him. I gotta find him. I gotta get a handle on this. I need to see him." She is distraught. She needs some reassurance at this moment. She wants desperately to have some closure. This nightmare of these last 3 days, it's just got to end. Where is he? At this, she turned around. This is so curious. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. How can that be? She's looking for him. She sees these angels. She's trying to find the body. And she turns around and there he is. But she doesn't recognize him. This best friend, this Savior, is standing right there. Why doesn't she recognize him? Why don't we always recognize him? Do we always recognize Jesus when he's sitting right here? Do we always recognize Jesus when he's right in our heart? Do we always recognize when Jesus is right there in the middle of a mess? In the middle of a mess. We lose sight. We are blinded in the middle. I desire them. Because sometimes panic comes in, man. When panic comes in, sense of sensibility goes out the window. She doesn't recognize him. But let's get personal for a moment. Jesus is closer than she can imagine. Jesus is closer than we can think right now. He is risen, but he's not gone far away. Continuing. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I'll go get him." She's ready to roll up her sleeves. She's ready to get the job done. She's ready. She wants to find that body. It's got to be around here somewhere. I need to see it. Is this just a nightmare? Does this really happen? I need some closure. Where'd you put him? I'll go find him. I'll get him. I'll pick him up. I'll hold him in my arms like he held me in his. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni, Mary." He speaks her name, and suddenly she recognizes him. I think it was like a flashback. I think it was a flashback for Mary. All of a sudden, everything came back. Everything, her past came back. Her terrible, horrible past of seven demons, all of it came flooding back into her. The moment she met Jesus came back to her, I bet. And the moment she was healed and that feeling of just being totally cleansed came back, all of it swirling, coming back in an instant, in a flashback. All that walking with him and serving him, and all she did a lot of ministry. All the ministry with him, all of it, all of a sudden, and as he says, "Mary," as he calls out her name, Jesus knows our name. Tom, Debbie, Sean, David, Marianne, Connie, Sandy, Marie, Jesus, do you hear it? Do you recognize him? When he calls her name, she recognizes him. There's a connection point here. When he calls our name, we recognize, remember we talked about knowing him. She knew him. This is her best friend. This is her Savior. He calls her name and everything comes back. It's like an amnesia victim. Boom. Mary. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." I have been pondering this all week. What is going on with this one? Can she not touch him because he's like charged? Can she not touch him because if she touches him, he won't ascend? That doesn't make any sense. Why is it she can't touch him? Other versions say she was clinging. She cannot cling to him. Why? I've been pondering this all week. Maybe you could help me with that. Maybe you have figured it out. I couldn't figure it out. It came to me this morning. Doesn't want him to hold, want her to hold back. David is so close, so profound. Jesus doesn't want her to hold on to that past. Jesus doesn't want her just to have just his body. Jesus wants her to have more.
She's got to surrender.
She's got to surrender it. Jesus wants her to have everything. Remember, Jesus, when he leaves, he says to all the disciples and all that path that we talked about, all those conversations, those intimate conversations, he's promising the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I gotta leave, but the Holy Spirit is coming upon you, and that Holy Spirit will fill you, will be with you, will help remember me with the Holy Spirit. You can't cling on to me. You gotta let me go. You gotta let all that other past go. What are we clinging on to here, folks? What do we need to let go?
Our past.
Our past. Our present. Our future. We've been talking about that. We have to surrender all of it.
Our pride. Pride.
Our crying.
No, pride.
Our pride. We have to let go of all of it. We can't just cling on to a body. Jesus has more for us. I think that that's that final renewal. That Jesus has something better for us. It's a continuous renewal. It's not just a one-time shot when he first met Mary Magdalene and released her of everything that is in her past. The Holy Spirit is going to release her of everything, past, present, and future. Remember, Jesus prays for all of us, past, present, and future, to be one with him as we are one with the Father, as we are one with one another, and he's sending the Holy Spirit. All of it is coming together on this day. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, the good news, the gospel news. I had seen the Lord, and she told them that he has said these things to her. Mary is obedient. Mary is actually a disciple. She's a follower. She's been with Jesus. She's seen him face to face. She has walked with him. She has talked with him. And now she is sharing him with the rest of the disciples. Mary is a disciple. We are disciples of our Lord. We are followers. We are called to be Mary today. We are called to be Mary tomorrow. Mary is obedient. She is passionate. Boy, is she ever. She is excited. She is grieving. And she is renewed. She's been renewed since the day she met Jesus. But now she's going to have this constant renewal. And the key to all of this, the key all the way from the beginning of the year of this being renewed, is that we have to recognize Jesus. All of it happened in an instant when he called her name and she recognized him again. All of it happened in the first day she met him and she released her, freed her in an instant. She recognized Jesus today, this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday. Recognize him. Where is he? Closer than we think. How powerful is he? The creator of all things. How loving is he? That we are weeping over his death. Good Friday was a hard day. I don't know about you guys, but Good Friday is always a hard day for me. It's a glorious day because the battle's won, but it's a hard day. I often talk about, you know, it's a long night from the Last Supper to the crucifixion. It's a continuous sequence of events. It is brutal. It is the worst way we've ever figured out to kill somebody. It is horrendous. But it is glorious because the battle was won, and today is the celebration. So as we go out and celebrate, let us be like Mary. Let us not just recognize Jesus, let's share him. Somebody else needs to recognize Jesus. A whole world out there needs to recognize Jesus. We also learned this year that Jesus is the answer. So you might ask, well, what's the question? Any question, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to every problem, every situation everybody is facing out there. He is the answer. All we have to do is recognize him. And our only job is an introduction. He'll take it from there. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the faithful like Mary Magdalene, like Peter and John and James. Thank you that we can be like them, that we can have a destiny like them, that we can share like them. Dear Father God, we thank you for this renewal. As we take a breath, as we exchange our oxygen, let us be renewed in the truth, in the glory of your Son, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, Jesus. God is good. Thank you. you give a little praise and you fill a little bit more up.
Yeah.
When you're facing a situation, you give a little bit of praise and the situation gets a little dimmer. When you just need a little boost, just give a little praise. There is power in praise. Praise gives us to renewal.
Amen.
We need to pray. I was asking people how they pray, and most people tell me, and I'm a little embarrassed because I wasn't doing this, but they start with praise and thanksgiving. I always started with, how can you fix me? They're both good, but we should start with the praise and the praise. Because as we praise, you feel it. As we praise, and it changes our emotions. As we praise, it changes our mind. As we praise, all of our troubles get minor. As we praise, we put it in perspective. As we praise, we give glory to our Lord. Let us pray and praise. Dear Father God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We thank you for that gift of praise. We thank you that even as we give praise, you give us back more. We thank you, dear Father God, for your Son. Let us go forth right now and tell others he is risen. He is the answer. He is the way, the only way, back to you. We are dismissed on this Resurrection Sunday to give praise, to follow, to share, to love, and to serve our Lord Jesus and all the church.